in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. And a warm holiday welcome to all my listeners. Thank you for joining me. Welcome to the Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, Tom Velasquez, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. Now, last week I mentioned that this show, while you're listening to this show, you are in a fake news free zone. But for this episode, you may have a hard time believing the real news that I'm going to dish out today. Now, following the announcement regarding one of the topics on this week's show, I was pleasantly surprised by the number of people who are intrigued and also excited about the subject of this episode. This episode, I'm going to be discussing somewhat what I touched upon last week, how I believe, and there's growing evidence showing that that may be the case, how I believe that we are in control of our lives by our mere thoughts. So when we come back, I will discuss how I, as well as many others, believe that our reality is created by our thoughts and our emotions. Now, you're going to really have to open your mind on this one. What you are about to hear will go against everything you have ever been taught in your life. So sit back, relax, and open your mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. So the upcoming segment of the show is being sponsored by Minds.com. All of us get infuriated with Facebook at times because we would post something on there and they don't like it, so they delete our posts. Or we get ridiculed for our beliefs. However, if you go to Minds.com, you find a new social media networking platform. What that does is it's a free site, and by free, I mean not monetarily. It is a free site. You are free to do and post whatever you want without fear of ridicule and without fear of having a liberal or a political bias. Join the fast-growing community at Minds.com and get the news you really want to look for. Again, that's www.minds.com. So, before we begin this section of the show, I need you to ask yourself a question and be honest with yourself. Do you believe in the power of your mind? Do you believe that the events of your life are random occurrences? Or do you believe that you may actually play a part in the events of your life? What if I told you that you, yes, you, are the creator of your reality? Now, before I go any further, I want to tell you that I understand that what I just stated and what I'm about to discuss is probably going against everything most of us have ever been taught growing up and what most of us believe right now. But with every passing day, we gain knowledge of forgotten beliefs that the ancient unaccounted civilizations of the past, what they knew as fact. This, in my opinion, is the beginning of our knowledge advancement as we swing towards the center of the universe on the precession of the equinox. Now bear with me. When I talk about this, I've already ticked off a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that say, hey, nope, God's in control, or Allah is in control, or whoever you believe in is in control. But it is not my intent to question your religious beliefs. But on the contrary, I plan to expand those beliefs. Everything I will be discussing today is part of most, if not all, religious belief systems today, if you can actually interpret them correctly. Now, what I'm asking my listeners here is when you go into this segment, thinking about your life, not just your adult life, but your life growing up. How was your demeanor growing up? Were you a glass half full or a glass half empty type of person? In other words, were you an optimist? Were you happy? Were you fun to be around? Or were you a pessimist, always looking at the bad things? Are you or were you a positive or negative person? I mentioned it before, but growing up, I was a complete glass half empty guy. I had a lot of friends. I was fun to be around. I enjoyed my young days, my childhood days, but I was always waiting for the shoe to drop. And that shoe always dropped. No matter what I did, that shoe, something bad would always happen. I lived up until probably 30, 31 years old that I will expect the worst, and if anything not as bad as what I was expecting happened, that's a bonus, that's a plus. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there that live that way, and that's no way to live. It took years of training, rewiring, retraining my brain and my consciousness. It took years to rewire it to the point that I have a new way of thinking. And during my early years, up to my 30s, I struggled mightily. You know, I'd go to school, graduated high school, planned on playing baseball, had scholarships offers, had contract offers to play minor league baseball right out of high school. Lo and behold, again, because of my demeanor, I believe, and my thought pattern, I was always worried. Gosh, I hope I don't get hurt. I hope I don't get hurt. And lo and behold, my senior year, I blow out my arm. And back when I was playing, when you tear your rotator cuff, and as a left-handed pitcher, you need that strength in that arm. And back then, there was no surgery like they have today to repair that. So once I tore my rotator cuff, all those scholarships got taken back, and all the contract offers went dried up like a dry lake bed. So I struggled. I took a year off of school after high school, didn't go to college, then went back to college. And is my life where I want it to be? No. But I'm in a much, much better place because I don't care. I'm happy now. And that's all that matters. So I say to you again, you, every one of you listening to this show, are entirely the creator of your reality. You are not just part of the equation, you are all of it. You create your reality through your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs. Now stay with me. I know how this sounds, but let me explain. It's essentially this. At mostly a subconscious level, starting before our birth and fueled by the accumulated thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, we have created our life. Every event, every detail, and every slight little nuance of your life has been a result of your thoughts, your beliefs, your feelings, and your actions. Because look, your thoughts and your beliefs and your feelings all roll into your actions. If you think you're a loser, if you think you have nothing to offer this world, you're not going to go out and make the world a better place. You're not going to go try and better yourself because you've got it in your head that I have nothing. If you think you aren't good at something, you've already put that in your head. You've created that reality. So therefore, you have created your reality. Now, I've talked about this before with some people, and they're like, well, yeah, obviously, Tom, if you don't go out and get that job or take that job interview, you're never going to amount to anything. Your life is going to be a struggle. Absolutely. Because we've created that reality for us. We've created the reality that I'm not good enough to get this job. So we have talked ourselves into either not going to that interview, or when we go to that interview, our demeanor is going to not be, we're not going to expel, we're not going to protrude, we're not going to portray a positive, uplifting attitude. So therefore, we won't get that job and we'll continue to struggle. That's just one example. But now some people believe that before we were born, we chose our life. Now, some people, some in the, I don't know what you'd call it, the alternative zone, call our life a highway. Now, during our life, we choose lanes on this highway that constitutes our journey. There is one highway. We all go on one single highway in this life. But there are an infinite number of lanes. Each lane is determined by our thoughts, our feelings, and everybody say it with me, our beliefs. Your highway, the one you are on right now, is individualized to you and only you. Nobody else has the highway and has taken the route you have to get where you are. But you do have some fixed parameters. For example, your parents, your country, your skin color, and so on. Those are just a couple of examples. These are preset. You choose these before birth, and these are yours for life. And again, I'm going to give you some of the questions I had talking to people before the show about this. Okay, Tom, I could grow up as a very rich white person with very wealthy parents. Why wouldn't I want to do that? You go back to the last show. We pass on. We die. We go into the fourth plane. That fourth plane, well, let me back it up a little bit. We make a stop in the fourth plane. Some people that pass on get stuck in the fourth plane. That's our ghosts. That's our spirits. Most of us go into the fifth plane. The fifth plane is where we expound some knowledge that we are the quote-unquote ancestors that our ancients talked about. But here is where we continue to learn. If we have not learned our goal, what we needed to learn during this earthly presence, then we come back. Now, if you were a spoiled white rich kid before, okay, you might have learned how to be a spoiled white rich kid. But to ascend to the next plane, the sixth plane, you have to learn more. And if that constitutes being born a black child in Ethiopia with that's going to struggle to find food every day, that may be what you need to do to move on to that next plane. So you choose that life. But when we choose this life, we're not afraid. We're not going to go, oh my gosh, I'm going to be an Ethiopian, or I'm going to be in a horrible country with no money, no food, parents who may not be there. It's going to be horrible. We don't think that, though, because we know that that's just temporary. That is part of the process to ascend to the next plane. So you may choose your place of birth. You may choose your parents. You may choose your skin color. But it's all part of the program. It's all part of the ascension to the next plane. But now during your life here, see, I must have chose to be a white Greek, I guess. Greek, some people call me white. I don't know. I check white in the box. Some people might say that I should check other. I don't know. But essentially a white middle-class child in the United States of America. I chose my parents. My parents did a phenomenal job. They raised five kids. None of them ever got in any trouble. So my brothers and sisters and I chose to be part of that family because we have something we have to learn. Now, maybe I had to learn that there's more to life than this. And I've learned that. So maybe now I can start my ascension process into maybe having to come back and learn another lesson. Or maybe this is the lesson I had to learn, and now I go to the sixth plane. But regardless, during this life I have now, the life I chose, my thoughts accumulate. And when your thoughts and my thoughts, whoever's listening to this, your thoughts, over the course of your life, your thoughts accumulate. And those thoughts become your beliefs, your belief system. The most powerful of these thoughts occur at a subconscious level. This is the hard part. You may project yourself as a fun, loving, great person, but deep down, subconsciously, you have these just thoughts that just keep going through your head. I'm not good enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. I'm not smart enough. Something like that. It's not the thoughts that you portray to each other, that you say out loud those thoughts. It's your subconscious thoughts that are the most powerful. If you think you're not good enough, subconsciously, you have just made that your reality, so you will not be good enough in reality. These subconscious thoughts are, for the most part, our life. These thoughts are what make up our life. We are essentially a subconscious being. We cannot think consciously to be rich and have it happen. We are a culmination of our accumulated thoughts and beliefs. Now, but these accumulated thoughts and beliefs are our subconscious beliefs. Little story. When I was younger, I was married, had one child. Went to work for Circuit City, and I was in a tough spot because the job I was in, I completely got railroaded in, was lied to, never was told, hey, this is an outside house-to-house, door-to-door insurance salesman type job. Went through 3 weeks of training and never was told that. Come back and was told, hey, everybody, these are all preset appointments. They call, we set them up, you go. First day out in the field, I'm with my manager as, you know, training, I guess. We pull into this neighborhood, so I'm thinking we're going to a preset appointment. We park at the end of it. I look around, thinking to myself, why are we parking here? There's no house here. It's a vacant lot on the corner. She gets out. I get out and I stand by the car. I'm like, what are we doing? Well, we're going to walk this neighborhood, start talking to people. So I had to get a job because this job, I'm not a door-to-door salesman. So one of the people I talked to actually worked at Circuit City. And they could tell I did not like this job. And they said, look, it's not this job, but it's a job. It's seasonal. If you're any good, they will keep you on after the holidays. So I went and I sold audio and video equipment at Circuit City. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. After the holidays, they kept me on full time. 3 months later, I was in their management program, and I became a manager. During that time, we were living in a rental house, and I hated the rental house. My wife's cousin at the time lived in a house next to a church in Saginaw, St. Helens Church, and I loved going over there. Just, it was in a little cul-de-sac, very quiet. You could see the church from the front yard. It was a very old, very beautiful church, and I just kept thinking, man, I would love to live here. I'd drive by it just to see it. Say, man, I'd love to live here. Didn't think it was ever going to happen. I got transferred down to the Detroit area to fix some struggling stores. Moved my family down. And my son at the time had some learning disabilities that we were trying to address to get him caught up with the rest of his schoolmates. And down in the Detroit area, there was unfortunately not enough time, nor were there enough teachers to spend with him. So instead of him catching up, he was falling farther behind. So I made a decision. I got to go back to Saginaw, go back to the school where he was making such great progress, and talk to my management staff at headquarters and said, this is what's going on. I got to get my son back up there. I'm willing to demote myself back to a salesperson to get back to the store in Saginaw. They were wonderful and said, nope, you've earned it. You've helped us out so much. Take the job, the same job, up in Saginaw. So moved my family up there. And it just happened at that time. My wife's cousin was getting a divorce and they were selling the house. It was paid off. It was in her name. She says, you guys want it, you can have it. And we stole the house. Literally, for what we paid for it, we stole it. And that, I believe, over the years of constantly wishing and hoping that I wanted to live in that house, I believe that that subconscious thought made that happen. So what I'm trying to say here is our thoughts create our reality. But now think about it this way. Have you ever met anyone who was truly, truly happy? That their happiness was infectious. You couldn't help but be in a good mood, smile, laugh when they're around. Have you ever met somebody that was unpleasant to be around, that is truly happy? You don't. You can tell the people that are truly, truly happy, and people gravitate towards them. But now on the flip side, have you ever met anybody who was just a grouch and everything was a fight that you wanted to be around? No, because they suck the energy right out of you. Have you ever met anyone who was successful that did not believe in themselves? Not just consciously, but subconsciously. Every successful person you will meet in this world has one common trait. You could say, oh, they worked hard, or they got everything handed to them. Regardless, I know a lot of people that work their tails off that are unsuccessful. Every one of these people that are successful have one trait, and that they truly not only portray it to you, but they subconsciously believe in themselves. They know that they will not be denied anything. They know it, and you can sense it. You can just sense, man, that guy's successful, without even talking to him, just by the way they handle themselves. People that come out and say, yeah, I'm the greatest, but don't believe it deep down, that it's all just an act. You can sense that also. You can see it. The only truly successful people in the world are people that believe in themselves deep down. Are you one of those people? Or do you pull the facade that, yep, I'm happy, I'm right where I want to be, I'm the greatest, but deep down inside, you know, man, I am not that. Now, most miserable people, and maybe that's you, but most people that you meet that are miserable, to 99.9% degree accuracy, they are pessimists. Always blaming everyone and everything else for their personal and financial problems. Most people, and this was me, who struggle financially are one of two types of thinkers. Either they have no confidence in themselves, and this feeling projects towards others. And that was me. I had very, very, very low self-esteem. Or they are just not good, honest people. You can be successful and be a jerk, but you can't be successful and think of yourself better than you subconsciously think of yourself. Think about that. You can sit here and you can project that you are awesome, that you are just everything goes your way. You could sit here and tell people, yeah, I'm loaded. I've got this, I've got this, and I've got this. But if you subconsciously know that you're a fraud, you don't have any confidence in yourself, it's not going to happen. You're creating your reality. The good news is, if you are struggling in life, as I was, there is a simple fix. And that fix is to change your thought pattern. Not only your conscious, but more importantly, your subconscious thoughts. Your subconscious thoughts are what are going to create your reality. Change these thoughts and you will begin to see a complete 180 change in your life. What most people don't realize is that it is our subconscious thoughts that keep us down. Look deep into yourself and be brutally honest. Do you harbor negative thoughts, beliefs, actions, or feelings? If you do, consciously change those and you will begin to change your life. I am a true testament. You know, years ago, I would have never thought of getting behind a microphone. I hated the sound of my voice. I hated the way I looked. I hated who I was. But I played the persona of somebody that was extremely happy. I was always making jokes. I was the life of the party. But those two didn't coordinate with the conscious and the subconscious didn't mesh up. Because subconsciously, I didn't believe that. I believed I was a failure. Everything I did, I look at my brothers and sisters who are completely wonderful people. And they do well in life. And I looked at me and I'm like, I'm nothing like them. I'm a failure. You know, I was the one that moved out early of my parents' house. I never got along all the time with my parents, just like any teenager. But I'm the one that left early. I was my own person. I was inside. I was a mess. And it took a lot of time, thought, training to change that. But I know I'm not perfect now. But you know what? I know what I am. I'm me. There's no other me. There's no other you. Accept that. Cling to that. Because that's beautiful. You are the only one of you on this planet of billions of people. You are good for something. You just got to find it. And you've got to convince your mind that you are good for something. And once you do that, things start to happen. Things that would normally never happen start to fall in your lap. Once I started to realize this, I got sick. And by sick, I mean very sick to where at the time they didn't know what was wrong with me. We'll get into how I got sick later. And it cost me a job. But I firmly believe because of my new way of thinking, I had this job I have now, which can be stressful, which can be a pain in the butt at times. But it has afforded me a lifestyle that I am living better than I ever have. Am I rich? By all means, no. My wife has to work or else I don't pay the bills, but we are in such a better situation than I was before. And I attribute it to because of my demeanor, my subconscious thoughts. I created my reality. I taught my mind to teach me consciously to be a positive person, to be a better person, to be a person that looks at himself and says, you're you. Yep. You may be bald. Yep. You could lose some weight. Definitely. But I'm me. Nobody else is me. So I ran with that. And when I accepted that, that nobody else is me, nobody else has gone through what I've gone through. A lot of it may have been self-inflicted, but those are the paths I chose. Everybody listening has a path that they chose. Nobody's perfect. There's only one person I know that was perfect. I'm trying to think of the word, the proper word. I could say it's great, but that's not, it's liberating, I guess is the word I'm trying to use. When you realize what you can do with your mind. You know, I went through the first quarter or first half of my life now, over almost three quarters of my life now, looking at things from a negative point of view. And I realized it was time to stop blaming everybody else. And this goes for everybody listening. There are many people that I know could take this advice right now, but it is time to stop blaming your upbringing, blaming society, the government, your boss, your coworkers, God, or the devil. It is time to take responsibility for ourselves. Too many people, and as I say, I know many of them, a lot of them listen to this show, so let's take some advice. But too many people are never responsible for their actions. It's never their fault. When I changed, the first thing I did is if I screwed up before, it was not my fault. It was, you know, the guy that cut me off, that's why I'm speeding, or I don't know, at work, somebody must have done something and I didn't do that because he put that there and then I couldn't do that. And I was always looking for an excuse why it was not my fault. And there's many of us out there right now that are in that same boat. It's never our fault. We may not want to believe it. But the first step to change this is to own it. Own your life. Own your actions, your responsibilities. It's your life. No one else has it. Own it. But that means when you screw up, when you make a mistake, own it. It's not anybody else's fault. Now look, if this guy completely screwed up over here and it made you look bad, by all means, hey, I'll take some of the blame. But this guy here over here, he screwed up too. He's the one that chain reactioned it down to me. That is the first step. And look, in life in general, this is a life lesson here. If you never are responsible for anything, it looks bad on you. If you screw up and you say, God, yeah, I screwed up. This is why I did it. This is how it happened. My apologies. I am human. I make mistakes. I hope I don't make this one again. I will do everything in my power to not make this mistake again. That builds a sense of trust. Like in your workplace, if you screw up an order, and you say, yep, I screwed it up. My bad, sorry. I don't know what I was doing. I guess I just had too much on my mind, I had too much going, and I screwed it up. I'll fix it. and it won't happen again. It adds so much credence to you by owning up to it instead of, it wasn't my fault. Yeah, I wrote it up, but it wasn't my customer, and, well, I'm not taking responsibility for it. Doesn't look good. So, I'm going to ask you, well, before I end this segment, I want to give you a couple scenarios and ask a question at the end of each one. Remember, though, what you think is what you become. What you follow, or what you feel, follows you. What you believe builds around you. Now, I've got a couple scenarios here I want to talk to you about. And I want you to ask yourself, and this is the test. I want you to ask yourself, is that me at the end of this? By answering that, that tells me, and it should more importantly tell you, where you are in this stage. Now, I've sat here for over 35 minutes talking to you about how much of a positive change positive thoughts can be on your life. But now what I want to talk to you about now is the level of awareness you're at. I've got a couple different scenarios, and I want you, when you listen to this, to think, where am I at? Is this me? Nope. Listen to the next one. Is that me? And once you find out where you are, ask yourself how happy you are in this life. Are you doing what you want to do? Are you as happy and as in tune to this life as you feel you should be? So again, I've talked about the positivity. The most painfully destructive level of the reality-based or thought-based reality theory is the fact that you believe that you are not the creator of your life, but you are a victim of circumstance. And listen, there's a lot of us here. You blame your life situation on something other than yourself. You blame God. You blame your parents. You blame the government. You blame the stars. You blame the planets. You blame everyone but you. You have no chance. Society was against you. So now, you don't have a chance. You believe you are inherently worthless. You believe that you're a victim, and life to you is torment. Is this you? Because this was me. And I got to believe that there were a lot of people, and there still may be a lot of people that listen to this show that are in that boat. But if you think that this is not you, let's go a little bit more. We'll try the quote-unquote next level. The quote-unquote more evolved level, where you believe that you are sometimes the creator of your life. You can influence some events, but mostly external forces are too strong to fight. You blame most of your condition on something other than yourself. You might take some responsibility for what happens to you, but most of the time, not. You think you have some worth, some potential, but life is a struggle with a few highlights. Is that you? Ask yourself, what level am I falling on right now? Then we move up to the next level, where you believe you are mostly the creator of your life. You can influence most events, though sometimes external forces are too great. You take responsibility for most of your actions. You spend little time blaming others for painful events. You believe you're a worthwhile person, but you have faults. You have a lot of potential. Life is interesting and an often enjoyable challenge. In all honesty to my listeners, this is where I fall. There are times that I doubt everything I just said to you, and it pains me to say that because I'm asking you to believe everything I say. I'm still in the learning process. So that is where I stand. Is that you? I'm in that boat. What boat are you in? And then the last one. They call it the master level. Is that you are entirely the creator of your life. You are part of a greater field of consciousness. That being which has many adventures and many faces that includes yours. You do not see your Earth character as you, but You are as a work of art. Your every thought, attitude, and action is your choice. You are fully responsible not only for your creations, but for your response to the creations. You never blame or judge others for your experiences. Your inherent worth and potential are vast. You believe that life is an exciting, sometimes surprising, but sometimes painful, yet joyous adventure. Is that you? Because if that's you, congratulations. You have mastered your life. You can check off that box right now of things that you have to learn. If that's the last thing you had to learn, you get to move up. You're moving, you're ascending to the sixth plane. The irony here is, whatever level of creation belief you hold, you will create the conditions that appear to prove you right. What you believe will manifest around you. In other words, if you believe that you are a victim, then ladies and gentlemen, all you will ever be in this life is a victim. Until you realize that you, and only you, can change that. You can't have anybody else. You can work hard all of your life. But if you feel that you're worthless, that society is out to get you, it's not going to change anything. It all changes when you change. When that belief system of yours changes. Now I want to end this with a quote from Henry Ford. And then I want to give you a story from the Sioux Indians. First, Henry Ford. We all know who Henry Ford is. He said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you are probably right. And he's absolutely right. If you think you can, you will do it. If you think you can't, you will most assuredly fail. Then lastly, I want to give you a little story that Sioux Indians used to say around the campfire. An old man and his grandson are sitting by the fire outside the teepee, wrapped in furs and gazing into the leaping flames. High on a snowy ridge, a wolf howls at the moon, and another answers from far away. Soon after, the old man removes the pipe from his mouth. "Grandson," he said, "there are two wolves inside of you. One is good, the other is bad." "What are they doing there, Grandfather?" asked the wide-eyed boy. "They are fighting each other," said the old man. The boy considers this, then asks, "Why are they good and bad?" "The good one is your love, your peace, and your truth. The bad one is your fear, your anger, and your lies." The fire crackles, and sparks flare into the night. The wolf on the ridge howls again, and the old man puffs contently on his pipe. Finally, the boy asks, "Which one will win, Grandfather?" "Ah," said the old man, removing the pipe once more, "the one that wins is the one that you feed." Ladies and gentlemen, I am a completely different person because of this belief system that I just expounded onto you. I'm not asking you to believe me right now, but I want every one of my listeners to do this. Is change your thought pattern and see what happens. I'm not asking you to completely change your life. It takes a while to do that. But change your thought patterns. Think the positive thoughts. Don't be the Nelly narcissist. Don't be the Larry Letdown. Be the guy that people look at and say, "Man, that guy's happy. That girl's happy. That person gets everything they want." You ever met one of those people? The person that you're just like, "How does this guy get so lucky? This guy gets every break in the world." I got a brother that's like that. And this guy has positivity written all over him. Some of my listeners may be like that. And I guarantee you, those listeners, if you're getting the breaks, if you're getting everything handed to you, if everything seems to fall your way, I guarantee you, those listeners that have that happen to them, they are not pessimistic. They are not grouchy. They are not ornery. They are happy. Well, of course, Tom, they're going to be happy. They're getting all the breaks. But they were like that before the breaks ever happened. I guarantee you. I don't want to infringe on your religious beliefs here. That's the last thing I want to do. But I truly believe that this works in conjunction with all the religions in the world. Look at the religions. Christianity, that's the religion I know very well. I'm not saying I'm not a Christian. What I'm saying is that the Bible we're reading, the religion that we're being taught, is not the religion that it once was. It wasn't meant to be this way. The Bible has been rewritten, words omitted, things added. It's not, we're being fed a lie. And I truly, truly believe that the ancients, that we are not being told about, that the governments and the people in power of the world don't want us to know about, because they had the knowledge. They knew how to connect, how to be happy. And that's what I'm trying to get back to. And I want you to be along for the ride with me. So let's take a ride. Let's go back together. Let's take this ride together. I want every one of my listeners to try and start thinking, I'm worth something. And do that subconsciously. Eventually it becomes the norm. It feels awkward to think down about yourself. That's a great feeling. All right, we will be right back. I guess I was going to have another segment, but I'm running a little long on this one, and I'm getting sick again. First it was the leg, now I'm getting sick, so my throat is starting to hurt yet again. Oh, Tom, you're not thinking positively. No, this was my fault. My wife has been battling bronchitis, and I know I have been subconsciously worrying till the cows come home. Oh my gosh, I don't want to get sick before the holidays. Oh, please don't get sick before the holidays. And I basically worried myself sick. So yes, I brought this on myself. I blame nobody but me. So yes, I'm getting sick. My throat is starting to hurt, so I'm going to cut this short. But I want to come back real quick and talk to you about what I want to do on the next show. So sit back, take a quick breath, try and comprehend what I just told you, and make that promise to change your life. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back. Alrighty, this last segment coming up is going to be very, very brief, but it will be sponsored by theparanormalwarehouse.com. I mentioned Minds.com earlier in the show as a great social media platform alternative to Facebook. This is the paranormal version of Facebook. If you have any interest in the paranormal, you need to go on theparanormalwarehouse.com. They have great insights. They are a great networking tool. Any questions, if you have your own investigation group, you have a lot of answers. Everybody's there to help one another out. We all have the same common goal, which is to get to the bottom of the paranormal mystery. So go to theparanormalwarehouse.com. That is paranormalwarehouse.com. They're on Facebook. You can also find them online. Sign up and become part of a growing number of paranormal enthusiasts that have ditched Facebook for this great paranormal site. Again, www.paranormalwarehouse.com. All right, before I end the show, I want to briefly discuss with you what I have planned for the next couple of shows. Now, doing my research for this show topic today, it brought me back to a subject that I am completely entranced with. I have been just gobbling up information since I was younger, and that is the human body. And not just, you know, looking at Playboys and stuff like that. No, this is much, much deeper. This is what the human body is capable of, but more importantly, how we, you, myself, came into being. I want to discuss with you from the time of conception to what happens up until we're born. What exactly goes into making you and I? It is extremely interesting. And for those of you who have never done any research on the topic, it is amazing what our body has done to form you and I. This subject I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to get into religious undertones, but what it does is it verifies and solidifies the fact that there is no way evolution could be correct. We had to have been created. So if you believe in evolution, you owe it to yourself to listen to this show, because it will bring out some points that I believe cannot be disputed. If you believe in creationism, you owe it to yourself to listen to this show, because unless you are an anatomy or have studied this before, or an anatomy student or a professor or studied this before, this is going to be some extremely interesting information. I will go in and I will tell you what happens from the minute of our conception all the way up to our birth. What happens? How do we form? What happens? How did we get to where we are being? And how that could not be part of an evolutionary process. So I hope you stick with me till next week. I think you're going to love it. It's going to be a multi-show episode because it's going to entail some pretty deep and pretty lengthy conversations. But again, as I was researching this, it was just, that's all I kept coming back to is, my gosh, I really need to do a show on this, because it really, to me, it's interesting. And everybody I talk to about this subject, they're done and they keep asking more and more and more questions. And it's just, it's such an amazing accomplishment what our bodies have done to create ourselves. So again, that'll be next week. Maybe, now that I think about it, next week is Christmas. I don't know if I will have a show next week. I will let you know ahead of time. In the meantime, if I don't, I want every one of my listeners to have a very Merry Christmas, a very Happy New Year. Thank you for listening to the show this week. I am your host. This is Tom Velasquez signing off. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot.